We are going to turn today to Mark chapter 1. We know that as you get older, you tend to forget things. And as I was getting the object lesson for the children, I forgot my water. And we want the congregation to be delivered and those who may join us by the internet today from a very dry sermon, so the preacher needs to have a good drink. Oh, yes, what a blessing. So we're reading God's Word today from Mark chapter 1, beginning with the verse 21. We ended at verse 20 last week, where the Lord had called His first four disciples who became apostles, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John. Now let's consider God's word at verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now, synagogue, some of you may not know what a synagogue is. A synagogue is simply a word, it's an ancient Greek word, synagoge, simply means to gather together, to be brought together, to lead together. The people gathered together in this building called the synagogue. And there Jesus entered in with them and he taught them that day. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 28. And oh, may the Lord come today. May the Spirit of God come and take up his word. May the Spirit of God give enabling grace to the preacher to open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, open our ears and give us hearing ears and understanding hearts today. Look who came to the worship service. Who do we see here that had gathered together in that worship service that day? The Lord Jesus Christ was there. And what a blessing it is to have Him present. Because when the Lord is present in the gathering with His people, He makes the feast. Who else was in the worship service that day? We know that those four disciples went with Him. Peter and Andrew, James and John. If you read carefully, after they had come to Capernaum and entered into the synagogue, then they went into Peter and Andrew's house, those two brothers. Now, how happy is the gathering of God's people, those who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and how good it is when the Lord ministers His word to the hearts of His people. What a blessing it is. Well, there were obviously other people in the synagogue that day. There were people in attendance that day who assumed that the service would be somewhat normal, somewhat customary. And it was usually a service that made them drowsy. And they were always glad when it was all done and over so that they could leave. Well, there was also in the service that day a demon-possessed man. And there seemed to be no great surprise among the other people that he was there. Perhaps he often came to that congregation. And you know that many people under Satan's dominion attend services on a regular basis. They tend to look religious. They tend to act religious. And especially on this day in the year throughout the world, there are many people who look around and see who came to the service on that particular day and on this particular day. Well, that day in that house, the worship service was not at all an ordinary service because of the divine presence. I want to point that out first of all, for God was present with His people in that synagogue that day. And all that we would know His presence and power today, not only in this house, but in our hearts. The minister in charge must have invited Jesus to speak, because a minister had done that previously in the city that was our Savior's hometown. If you go back to Luke chapter 4, you'll see that the minister gave the book to him and had him to speak. Well, those people that were usually drowsy during the service were not able to be on that day. Rather, verse 22 tells us here in our reading, Mark 1:22, they were astonished. That is, they were shocked. They were surprised. They were just amazed at His words, at His teaching, at His doctrine. They were struck with wonder. How could a carpenter demonstrate such wisdom as He did? For He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now that's interesting. He spoke with absolute truth from His heart. The word authority is a very beautiful word. It appears a couple of times in this passage. The Greek word, many of you would know that, exousia. And you know, you see it on the wall, ex. It's to come out of. Ousia, His very substance, His very being. It came right out of the center of Christ's heart. What He was preaching, it was His message from His heart to the people's heart. And it was so unlike the scribes, because the scribes usually rambled on about nothing really worthwhile. And it's the same today in the Jewish synagogue. You can go online and you can see what they do in the synagogue. It's the same kind of worthless nothing, talking about politics or reading the paper. It's just crazy. But Christ was dealing with the great matters of life and death. God and eternity, sin and salvation is what He was talking about. And it was coming right out of His very awesome existence, out of His very heart, His authority. This wonderful message. The reality of God could be sensed in the message. Now, Christ was bringing these words that really touched the heart, because He was a one of compassion. He was very compassionate and really cared about the sinners that were gathered in that meeting. Unlike the scribes, who only looked for what they could get rather than what they could give to hopeless, needy people, the Lord was filled with compassion and concern, even for this demon-possessed man. it becomes very obvious. It was not only the divine presence that day, there was a devilish presence. And you know, it's no surprise that where the Lord's Word is, that representatives of darkness and evil will also be there. They'll be there to pluck away the Word. They'll be there to distract. They'll be there to interrupt whatever they can do. You remember how the devil came to the Lord, to the incarnate Word, when he was out in the wilderness. The devil himself came to him, trying to tempt him. Earlier in this chapter, you can read about that. And now, as the inscripturated Word is going forth with power in the synagogue, Satan's emissary, what does he do? He screams right in the middle of the service. He screams out and he interrupts the message. Look at verse 23. You see what he did? In verse 23, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. He didn't hold his peace. He cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, this man with an unclean spirit, what does that mean? It means this man had a very filthy mind. This man had corruption in his speech. The things that he said were dirty and filthy because this man had an unclean spirit. He also was lecherous and lustful in his life. That's the meaning of an unclean spirit. He was not a godly or holy man at all. So he cried out. He shouted right in the middle of the service. He screamed. He made this terrible interruption. Not only a scream, but that scream was followed with questions. You see these questions that he asked Jesus. He said, "What have we to do with thee?" In verse 24. What have we? Oh. It's an unclean spirit and this man that he has possessed. There's nothing that we have in common with each other. Why are you bothering us? He is saying to Jesus. Leave us alone. The second question he asked. You notice there? He says, "Art thou come to destroy us?" This demon knew something, as all demons and Satan know. Jesus of Nazareth, are you come to destroy us? The demons know who Jesus of Nazareth is, and they fear him. They know that he will ultimately and finally destroy them all and cast them into everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Then comes the confession. This demon not only screams and asks questions, he confesses his faith. You see what he says? At the end of verse 24, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." He was not lying. He knew that there was no salvation for him. There was only damnation ahead. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One, the sent one of God, the anointed, the set apart one by the Father to redeem sinners. He knew so much about Christ that he was frightened. James chapter 2 and verse 19, the scripture says, "The devils or the demons believe and tremble." They believe not only that God exists, they in trembling, quaking in fear, shivering in horror because they know that their final hour is approaching and they're going to be rapidly ruined for all eternity. And you know, the unbelieving modernistic skeptic who deny Christ, that Christ is God, have much less discernment have much less understanding and insight than the demons have. The demons know a lot more than a lot of theological professors know. Well, here is a man dead in trespasses and sin, dead to the blessed life of God, and without hope in the world, but Christ, the victor over death, sin, and hell, had come into that synagogue with the gospel, even to raise that man from spiritual death that day. There was a resurrection in that synagogue that day. It was this man being brought out of devilish darkness into God's light and salvation. So I want you to notice that Christ uttered two powerful commands. These are very interesting words because they're in the imperative mode. They are commands. This is what Jesus said very simply and shortly. He said, "Hold thy peace," verse 25, "and come out of him." Here we have eight words in the English. It's even shorter in the original, just five words. Hold thy peace. The meaning of that is, be muzzled like a dog. Be muzzled. And here he says, shut up. That's exactly what it is. Christ accepts no witness from the demons. And then he commands, come out of him. And it was a violent and a noisy exit that demon made. You notice there in verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him, he threw him into a convulsion and cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. The Lord Jesus commands even the evil spirits, and they obey him. So it resulted in amazement throughout that synagogue that day. His disciples were no doubt amazed. Those people that were used to the normal drowsy service, they were shocked. The people were dumbfounded. Notice there in verse 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, there is that word again, out of his very essence, out of his substance, out of his very divine being, commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Not only was the demon shocked and astonished with Christ coming in, the people were astonished. The authority and the power of Jesus demonstrated in expounding the scriptures that day was no greater than his awesome authority and power over the dark realm of demons. At Christ's command, the imps of delusion are unable to resist him. How wonderful are both the words and the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his words, as well as in his works, he shows his awesome power. Now notice verse 28, the last verse in our text. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout the region round about Galilee. From word of mouth to word of mouth, from house to house, from village to village, until all the region of Galilee heard the fame of Christ and his unmatched power. Now, let us think, as we reflect on that day in that house of worship, who was there? There were four groups represented. There was a member of the Holy Trinity. God the Son was present there. There was an imp of darkness, an evil being of wickedness. There were those people that were just there because it was the normal thing. And then there were disciples who loved the Lord and followed him. And so is it today. But what are the lessons that we can learn from this passage? What are the things that would be useful in our lives? There is no mistaking, first of all, There is no mistaking the voice of the Lord when He speaks His almighty word. Divine authority proves His ministry to be authentic, and the hearts of God's elect people respond to such power and reverently worship Him and earnestly obey Him. But the question is, has the Word of God ever come to you in that personal and powerful way? You know, if that ever happens to you, you will be absolutely convinced of the authentic nature of the gospel, that it is real. And you know that has to happen to you. If you're going to be in a happy eternity, you have to have a personal word from God brought home to your heart with power. Now, I can remember as a young boy hearing the preaching of the word and knowing that it was God's word that came to my heart with power, even though I wasn't changed by it until I was 25 years old. But there is no mistaking, when God is speaking His word, it is with authority. The second thing we need to notice is that the demons never miss a worship service. Now, just think about that. The demons never miss a worship service. At least one or a few will be there to steal away the good seed of the word, or to interrupt that the blessing is missed by at least some. Satan doesn't want to lose any more of his loyal subjects. He grieves every time Christ rescues one. He feels that loss. So realize that there are the powers of darkness that will try to immediately pluck away any thoughts of God and the serious matter of seeking Him. The third thing that we see in this passage as a lesson for us is that demons are better theologians than many theologians. Demons are more orthodox than many people who claim to be Christians. Demons are better in their understanding than a lot of preachers are. Many people doubt and even laugh about spiritual things. But the devil, the demons, never laugh about it. The devils believe and tremble, God tells us in James 2:19. They are afraid. Their belief is not just intellectual. Their belief shocks them. Their belief disturbs them. Well, you know, with a lot of people, belief is only a matter of the intellect. Many claim to be Christians, but mere belief of Bible facts and doctrines does not save the soul. Let's understand that. Simply believing that Jesus is God doesn't save the soul. Mere intellectual belief is no better than the demons. Sad is the fact that many who profess to believe on Christ have less faith and less reality than the demons do. Many people will laugh. Many people will mock about the reality of hell. But the demons don't laugh about it. They tremble with horror at thoughts about their future. It is one thing to say Christ is the Savior. The demons can say that. It's another thing altogether to say Christ is my Savior. Now, I wonder who has come to this worship service today. We know that the Lord Jesus has promised to be in the midst of His people. You can also be sure that the power of darkness is represented here today. But you know, there are only two other groups represented, and you fit in one of those two groups. There are some of Christ's disciples that have hungrily and honestly desired to feed on Him and to grow spiritually, to know Him better. And then there are some that agree with the doctrines of the gospel, but will not allow the truth to control their life. What do you say today? Do you say, I will be orthodox, I will believe the Bible, only do not disturb my conscience. Don't interfere with my habits of life. Don't try to dislodge my selfishness. Many people will accept anything as long as they can keep their sin. Who has come to this worship service today? My friend, you fit into one of the categories that we've considered. Think it over. Think it seriously. Because we will all be gathered together again one day. You may think that there are people here you'll probably never see again, but you will. Because there's going to be a great gathering before the judgment bar of God. There's going to be that great day of judgment when many will be blessed while others will have to hear that awful sentence. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this historical event in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Another day of worship, another worship service with many gathered. O God, we pray that Thou wilt take Thy word and write it upon our hearts today. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt cause us to think on this. For this is the day the Lord hath made. O God, we pray that Thou wilt help us, that we not waste this day, that we use it rather to good purpose, that those without Christ would seek the Lord while He may be found, that those who know and love Christ would desire a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. So Lord, abide with us. Bless the remaining moments of this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.